Yeah, those are the two apologies that were brought to my attention. Honorable Williams, I think, is still here. He went for more than coke. I mean, for more than coffee and tea. He went for coke. Okay. So, but yeah, let's allow Mr. Mkhize just to introduce to us his team, and also hit. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and members of this August Committee of Parliament, Portfolio Committee on Labour. I have with me Mkhalipi, who is now wearing a different hat. He's sitting in here as a member of the NEDLAC Executive Council, representing government. And I have my Chief Financial Officer sitting next to me, and my name is Herbert Mkhize. The other overall conveners in NEDLAC couldn't make the meeting today, as most of them are still finding their way back from Geneva, the ILO. Thank you once again, Chair, for giving us an opportunity to just share with you high level highlights of what is on our menu for 2011 going forward. I think just by way of recap, and I know that most of the members of this committee are quite affair with what NEDLAC is about, so I'm not going to spend a hell of a lot of time trying to explain what we are about, except to preempt whatever questions that may arise later. So I'll just touch on some of the key factors. I think the first one, which is quite important, is that we came into being as a result of our forebears adopting a principle that it would be useful if the new South Africa would take decisions in an inclusive and transparent manner. So that I think that's a principle that is useful. I think secondly, our raison d'etre, among other things, is to deepen democracy in the country by ensuring that the society, as far as is possible, participate in shaping the architecture of the national policy. We're also given the mandate that, among other things, we should seek ways, using policy as an instrument, of addressing the high levels of poverty in the country, address the high levels of unemployment, and addressing the fact that South Africa is among the countries with the highest levels of inequality in the world, and rebuilding and stimulating economic growth and dealing with the legacy of our past. And of course, the view from our forebears suggests that government alone can't do all of these things, can't fix all of these challenges or these problems. Hence, a call for partnership. So if you like, NEDLAC is an institution that seeks to build partnership, seeks to identify areas where partnership is possible, and rally the society and the key stakeholders behind those key areas. Our foundation, simply put, is that we were set up through an Act of Parliament, the NEDLAC Act of 1994. We are the national seat of social dialogue in South Africa. We don't have branches anywhere else. We only have one place, and that is in Johannesburg, in Honorable Olus's constituency. That's where our headquarters are. The council is a representative and consensus-seeking body where the parties to the council to reach agreement on policy matters through negotiations and discussions based on mandates. I think that becomes quite useful to note as a prerequisite. Our mission could be summed up in those three key paraphrases: is building enduring partnerships, promoting a shared vision of South Africa's growth and development strategy, addressing urgent challenges, selecting from many possible interventions those which hold the promise of the greatest possible impact in the shortest possible time, lending a hand, securing commitment and active participation of all constituencies. And I think we do this pretty well under the circumstances. The NEDLAC architecture, we have four constituencies in NEDLAC: business, represented by Business Unity South Africa; labor, represented by the three federations in the country; COSATU, NACTU, and FEDUSA. Government, represented by the Department of Labor, the Department of Trade and Industry, Public Works, National Treasury, and other government departments that get called in from time to time as and when the issues on the agenda are relevant to their own remit. Then we have community constituency represented by women, civic organizations, youth council, people with disabilities, the NCASA, which has now changed its name to SANACO. It's changed its name now to SANACO. And then we have the Financial Sector Campaigns Coalition. Those are the people that represent constituencies in NEDLAC, and that is actually NEDLAC. Then we have the national summit that we call once a year. It's chaired by the presidency, either the president of the republic or the deputy president will come and chair and address the summit. Then we have the executive council, a 72 member body, and that's actually NEDLAC. They take decisions on various policies. At operational level, we have the management committee, which is made up of about 18 people. Then we have the chambers, which we call, for purposes of this presentation, the engine of NEDLAC. The principals in the executive council of the four constituencies for government is the Minister of Public Works, the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Labour, and the Minister of Trade and Industry. The Minister of Labour doubles up also as the executive authority in NEDLAC, and she also serves as the overall coordinator of government in NEDLAC. For Labour is the General Secretary of COSATU, Zwelithini Mavhavhi, the General Secretary of NACTU, Malene Samela, and the General Secretary of FEDUSA, Dennis George. They bring with them their full complement, which is 18 seats for Labour, 18 seats for government in the council. Then for business, we have the president of BUSA, Ms. Futhi Mtoba, who bring together with André Lambrecht, who is the national chairperson, they take up their 18 seats in the council on behalf of business. And then for the community constituency, we have the five sectors, often led by their presidents and general secretaries in the council. They also take up their 18 seats on the council. And then the people responsible for the day-to-day operation of NEDLAC are the four overall conveners, Les Kettledust for government, Begin Charlie Charlie for labor, Dr. Lorraine Lotter for business, and Lula Manare for the community constituency. So these are the people that lead the council, as it were. On the governance issues, we are a statutory institution established by an act of parliament. We are funded from the Department of Labour's budget. The institution is run by the Executive Council. The Minister of Labour is the executive authority and the leader of government constituency in NEDLAC. Four social partners, and no party has a formal and or official veto in NEDLAC. So ministers, when they rock up at the NEDLAC Executive Council, they check in their status at the door, and when they're in, everybody is equal. It does irritate some ministers at times, but that's the way it goes. We work on the basis of mandate, so you can't just rock up in the Executive Council representing your own jacket. You've got to prove that you indeed carry a mandate from your constituency. And then we have an independent secretariat. We derive our strategic plan from a number of sources, amongst them the State of the Nation Address. The State of the Nation Address, to a large extent, informs what the NEDLAC work program is going to look like. The budget speech also very much informs what the program is going to look like. The medium-term strategic framework, the government program of action, the budget votes by the various government departments, and policy issues that may be proposed by either business, labor, or the community constituency. So we take all of these into account, and they form the basis of developing a strategic plan for NEDLAC. Our remit, our mandate, if you like, could be summed up in 5 points. First is that of striving to promote the goals of economic growth, participation, participation in economic decision-making and social equity, seek to reach consensus and conclude agreements pertaining to social and economic policies, consider all proposed labor legislations related to labor market policy before being introduced in Parliament, and we consider all significant changes to social and economic policy before being implemented or introduced in Parliament. So simply put, we are a conduit between the executive authority and Parliament on labor market policies and those policies that have social and economic impact. Of course, we don't take everything that government seeks to introduce in terms of policy. The social partners cherry pick. They choose which policies they would want to engage on in NEDLAC, and they choose which ones they would be so keen to engage. We do this through the four policy work streams, trade and industry chamber. Here we deal mainly with all issues relating to trade policy, investment policies, and industrial development policies. We deal with all of those policies in that chamber of NEDLAC. Each constituency has six representatives plus six alternates. Labour market chamber, we deal with all labour market policies. Quite interestingly, all labour laws in this country were developed in NEDLAC, in that chamber of NEDLAC, and all of them with without any exception, were a result of robust discussions, and all of them represent a deal among the social partners. We have Public Finance and Monetary Policy Chamber. Here we deal with fiscal and monetary policy, and the Development Chamber where we deal with developmental issues, if you like, the social cluster type issues. And then we have two standing committees, the Standing Committee on Section 77, responsible for dealing with all matters relating to Section 77 notices, and we have Demarcations Committee and Teselico. Teselico is a standing committee that deals with all trade policies. So when the Minister of Finance of Trade and Industry stands up in the WTO or anywhere else, the positions that he articulates are positions that often find that are often developed in NEDLAC and in that particular standing committee. With your permission, Chair, if you like, may I skip those, just in the interest of time, but jump into process. Tabling of policy proposal is governed by an agreed protocol in NEDLAC. So government tables its program of policy and legislations in NEDLAC, often at the beginning of the first quarter of the year. The labor, business, and community constituencies likewise table their own policy issues for inclusion in the work program. Issues are tabled at least 3 months before sign-off is required. However, the protocol has provisions for issues that may require quicker sign-off. Parties agree on the onset on whether the issue is tabled for negotiations or both. Parties then would agree on the processes on how to expedite the matter. There may also be instances where an intervention of a cabinet minister is required, and often ministers would come to deal with those issues. NEDLAC does from time to time get given an opportunity to brief relevant portfolio committee on a NEDLAC report, albeit on an ad hoc basis. So this is a committee that is under the direct supervision of this portfolio committee, but it does appear before various other National Assembly and COP committees on various issues depending on where the issues are at. So it's quite useful that at least this portfolio committee is facilitating democracy on behalf of the entire country and on behalf of the entire Parliament, and you pay for that. It's quite a useful process. Historically, the process flow in policy making in South Africa could be summed up in the following: that we often get a green paper where the department concerned will come and just share with us conceptually what it is planning to do and why it wants to do that. So if you like, the green paper is like taking a pulse from the society in terms of what the kind of immediate reaction that each policy might come about. And the Department of Labor is a leader in observing this process, that it comes in when the issue is just very much at the conceptual stage and say, this is what we're planning to do, what's your take as various constituency? It's a useful exercise. And then, of course, if a government department feels strongly that it wants to progress the conceptual ideas, then they often table a white paper in NEDLAC, quite useful. And it's a good indicator for the NEDLAC social partners that when a department tables a white paper, then it means government means business in terms of that particular issue. So the seriousness in terms of engagement often takes a different turn. And then, of course, we'll have the draft bill in the event that the policy that is being proposed would require legislation as an instrument to give effect to it. Then we'll often see the draft bill and then the bill. Ideally, these should come to NEDLAC before they are tabled in Parliament, but there are instances where some government departments will try and sidestep the NEDLAC process and run to Parliament. But I must say that we have developed an excellent rapport with parliamentary portfolio committees, that in instances where a bill has not been tabled in NEDLAC, we can almost certainly rely on the chairpersons and the portfolio committees to refer those bills back to NEDLAC. It's something that we did not enjoy for a number of years, but it's a culture that is embedded in now in Parliament, and we thank you. I must thank you as this committee for having helped us to achieve that objective. Some key observations. I think the first is that inherent in social dialogue is that it takes time for it to produce meaningful outcomes, and a lot of people become irritated with this. It's often the reason why those government departments that chooses to sidestep NEDLAC would raise as a reason why they don't want to come to NEDLAC, because things tend to take time. But what is important, though, is that Parliament, as the ultimate decision maker on policies and laws in South Africa, would take the comments from NEDLAC seriously. In that, if a policy before Parliament does not solicit sufficient consensus among the stakeholders, there should be a good indication as to what is likely to happen when the policy is implemented. It could be a good signal of the potential implementation difficulties should that policy be signed off. And of course, it arguably makes implementation much easier, and most of all prevents unnecessary legal challenges and squabbles. I think in the 8 years that I've been in NEDLAC, there have been very few, if at all any, policies that have been through NEDLAC but triggered any social partner to institute litigation around those policies. So it's an instrument that works quite well for us. But very broadly, these are the kinds of issues that are on our radar screen for the year under review. For the Management Committee, we have comprehensive social security policy framework and retirement funds reforms. In the budget speech this year, the Minister of Finance did indicate that government was at a fairly advanced stage in developing a discussion paper or proposals around comprehensive social security policy framework. It is on the agenda of Management Committee. We are waiting for government to table the policy proposals around that issue. Energy is on the agenda of Management Committee, particularly the area of security of supply. The one issue that we're dealing with now also with respect to energy is demand-side management. We're also dealing with alternative sources of energy. I think the disaster in Japan has also been quite an eye-opener, and it will really find the lessons from there will find their way into the discussions around energy going forward. We have the Decent Work Country program. The framework has been finalized. Now what we are doing in the Management Committee is to start giving effect to some of the issues on the framework, developing action plans. The Global Jobs Pact, an initiative by the ILO, is also in the Management Committee, which is trying to find ways of how it gets integrated to various initiatives in South Africa, in particular the discussions around the new growth path. The Superior Court's bill is also in NEDLAC. We have almost finalized the engagements on the Superior Court's bill. There are agreements that have emerged. I mean, this is a bill that mainly deals with the question of collapsing the labor court into to the High Court in South Africa in order to deal with a range of challenges that have been highlighted. It's also a bill that seeks to give certainty on the Labour Court judge's tenure and benefits and all those issues. And we've agreed on a number of issues around the bill. It's also a bill that deals with the problem of, because currently the shop steward can appear before in the Labour Court to represent the worker, but in the High Court, not even an ordinary attorney can appear, but an advocate. We've dealt with that in terms of the Rules Board of the Labour Court, and we are happy to say that in terms of the agreement from NEDLAC at this stage is that shop steward will still be allowed to appear and represent workers in the Labour Court. And Labour has argued very strongly that there are instances where a shop steward is so clued up on some of these issues that they sometimes run rings around qualified advocates in the Labour Court, so they don't want to lose that capability or that opportunity. National Poverty Line and Poverty Measures, it's an issue that sits in the Management Committee. I mean, you will recall that we don't have a National Poverty Line in South Africa. We used to have some poverty line that were developed by research institutions in the past, but today we don't have, which creates problems for us when we try to report on whether or not we are meeting some of the commitments in the Millennium Development Goals, because at what point do you say we are cracking the challenge of poverty if you don't have a benchmark against which to deal with that? We try to use the UN $1 a day, but it does encounter difficulties. Even the $2 a day has been an issue that has been looked at as a possibility in terms of setting up the methodology of setting a national poverty line for South Africa. The new growth path is an issue that is with us, particularly the commitment to create 5 million jobs going forward. The new growth path is going to be the center or the hive of activity in NEDLAC for a simple reason that at the very least, the new growth path proposes compacts or social accords, at least in two areas. One is productivity, that we need a stakeholder social accord around productivity in South Africa. And the second social accord is around strength. Those two are going to be extremely difficult for us to find one another and in terms of coming up with a social compact on how we deal with them. So NEDLAC would be quite busy in this year. Anti-poverty strategy, it's a strategy that is driven in the office of the Deputy President of the Republic. It's very much with NEDLAC. We're dealing with it. It has changed a couple of times based on the inputs by social partners. Confronting youth unemployment policy options for South Africa, also known as the wage policy, the wage subsidy, it's also been tabled at NEDLAC by the Minister of Finance and is being debated right now. Labour market policy review is another area that is going to take a lot of our time. It's an issue that relates to the four draft bills, labour market draft bills, that are currently in NEDLAC. The national budget framework is an issue that very much sits in the Management Committee. For the labour market policy chamber, it's a Squirrel Court's bill. I've spoken about it. It's the labour market policy review, where we have the Employment Equity Amendment Bill, Labour Relations Act Amendment Bill, Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Bill, and the Public Employment Services Bill. These are the bills that already have attracted interesting engagements in the public domain. They very much sit within NEDLAC. Of course, the history of NEDLAC is that bills from the Department of Labour arrive in NEDLAC in one form. I cannot recall an instance where they left NEDLAC in the same form that they came. They often change, and they change drastically. So as a free advice for those who are using their energies to deal with the draft bills in their current form, they will be advised to reserve some some of the energy, because that energy will be required as and when these bills change shape, because changing shape, they will. Decent Work Country Program is in that, like skills development. The NSDS3, it's an issue that we're looking at now. It's done and dusted. We're looking at implementation. We're in implementation mode now. Human Resources Development Strategy, it's an issue that very much sits within the new growth path as well. So it's an issue that strangles a number of policy work streams in NEDLAC, demarcation disputes, and indeed the confronting youth unemployment and or wage subsidy discussions. In the Public Finance and Monetary Policy Chamber, we're dealing in the main with the fiscal policy. That's what the Management Committee is going to be dealing with in terms of the national budget, the allocation of the national fiscus. We're also dealing with the monetary policy and some of the key issues that are emerging there is the exchange rate and inflation targeting and all the other policies that informs how the central bank manages monetary policy are issues that are very much on this chamber. The savings is an issue that is being driven, and it's been driven pretty hard. Financial Sector Charter Council, we're pleased to say that at least the lockjam or the deadlock around some of the scorecard issues have been resolved. WTO derivatives, before the global economic crisis, of course, South Africa made an offer to WTO on services, and derivatives were among the many issues that we dealt with. Now, derivatives were, if you like, in the center of some of the things that gave us the global recession recently. So the view in NEDLAC is to examine whether or not there are opportunities of revisiting the offer that was made to WTO around derivatives. It's a difficult issue because you've got to do it in such a way that you don't paste yourself into a position where you WTO members start accusing you of negotiating in bad faith. So it's a tricky issue. Global financial crisis aftermath. So the global economic crisis, South Africa may be out of recession, but it's not really out of the global economic crisis aftermath. We're still very much in that space. Belarus, I'm told recently, has also found itself into big trouble, and it's also as a result of the global economic crisis. There are countries in Europe that are still battling. They're not out of the woods yet. Germany is getting tired of bailing them out as well. Now, Europe is one of our major trading partners, so any problems that happen in Europe, they tend to have a ripple effect or a direct impact in how we do, how on our own economy, as it were. National Health Insurance Scheme, it's reported that government is at a very advanced stage in terms of introducing some of its thinking around the National Health Insurance Scheme, and it sits very much in the public finance and monetary policy from a fiscal policy point of view. So the public finance and monetary policy chamber is not going to deal with the other details. It may come at the end to say, how do you fund this? Then that's where they kick in. So they look at it purely only from the fiscals or the funding, financing point of view. Trade and industry chamber, energy is an issue that sits there, security of supply. We've just finalized the IRP2 and the risk mitigation plan, the first phase of it. So in 2011 going forward, this is very much going to be an issue that we need to unpack as we move forward. Climate change is an issue that also sits very much in that chamber. South Africa is indeed hosting COP17 towards the end of the year in KZN. And the discussions around climate change and our Copenhagen commitments, let alone the Cancun stalemate on these issues, are going to feature very much on these discussions around the climate change. Financial institutions, their mandate, it's often argued that our DFIs, it has become quite difficult to make a distinction between our DFIs and commercial banks. Some economists remarked that the only thing you need to do is just to change the name of the institution. So a presentation on value propositions from our development finance institutions are almost similar to the value propositions of a commercial bank. And this goes against the grain of why DFIs are there. They're there to deal with the market failures. They are there to deal with those areas which your conventional financiers would not dare go. The DFI is meant to go into those areas. But there are contradictions, of course, because on the one hand, we are expecting DFIs to go where markets can't go, but we expect DFIs to have healthy balance sheets. Now, there's only one way to have a healthy balance sheet, is to operate as if you're a commercial bank, because the methods are there. I mean, the commercial banks do it so well, and they achieve that objective. So they'd be getting caught up. So the idea in the trading industry is to see if we cannot redefine the mandates and role of the DFIs. And some people also argue that if the dream is to have a developmental state, one of the key pillars for a developmental state is that you've got to have your state institutions behind it. If the state institutions are articulating and doing something else, your chances of achieving that objective becomes a pie in the sky. Trade monitoring and illegal imports. Perhaps just before that, the targeted procurement for small enterprises. We've just finalized discussions in NEDLAC around preferential procurement regulations amendments. They are now in cabinet for sign-off, and we are told that they will be sign-off quite soon. And they're very helpful because, among other things, they seek to drive localization in South Africa, and they also seek to bring the state-owned enterprises into the loop because up to now they are not bound by the current preferential procurement regulations. Is to find ways of how that can be made possible. WTO trade policy review. At this stage, we are told that the Doha round is out of the ICU, and the G20 leaders are keen to get finality on the Doha round. So we're all waiting for the Geneva consensus in this particular case. And we want to use this opportunity also in South Africa to see if there aren't any areas where we could possibly strengthen or see if we cannot articulate or perhaps achieve more. IPA, the difficulties with IPA are on the verge of being resolved. This is an issue that relates to some countries in SACU and SADC signing on IPA and other countries choosing not to sign off in South Africa and Namibia, but some of the countries that refuse to sign on this. And we are made to believe that this is shaping up. And of course, it's an issue that sits in NEDLAC. The Minister of Trade and Industry is engaging NEDLAC on these issues. Customs Act, it's up for review. We're looking at tightening Customs Act in order to deal with illegal imports. ITEC Act is also up for review. Trade and the environment, we're looking at those issues. Medicines and related substances bill. Land reforms in agriculture, fisheries policy. This is a matter that has been dragging for quite a number of years now, and the change in cabinet or in ministers has not helped this process to move forward, but we think we're getting closer to finalizing this matter. Research and development, SADC and EPA. Cooperatives Amendment Bill is a matter we're dealing with, administered prices, IPAP 2, and climate change are issues that sits in this chamber. These are the studies that we are currently conducting, the one on import parity pricing. This one is particularly interesting because it talks to IPAP 2 in the sense that we're looking particularly at the steel prices, that if we want to build a competitive manufacturing sector in South Africa, it's important that we start looking at the impact of the import parity pricing. There are a number of propositions on the table, one of which is that the state is considering setting up its own steel factory and to come into the fray, and there are some litigation issues going on also in respect to Kumba and so on. Electricity tariffs, cushioning the poor, it's a matter we're looking at. It sits in there, and we finalized the study. What we're doing now is to find ways of how to take the recommendations from the study into the processes that develops policy. So DOE and DM and DPE are absolutely critical for us going forward, and that has to talk to the outcomes of the interministerial committee around electricity. Okay, those are some of the other studies. We've just finished a study on water quality. There's some interesting things that are emerging. One of the things, of course, this is not the reason for us to be complacent, that the water crisis is not as critical as what other people make it to be. It is critical, but not as critical. There is something we can do about it, including the acid mine drainage. There's something we can do about this, but these things come at a price. So the study is out now. There are recommendations in terms of what is it that we need to do, and we need to start doing some of these things pretty quickly. This is under trade. I'm not going to go through that, but those are some of the negotiations that are on the go, looking at various permutations for South Africa. And then we have the Development Chamber Policy Workstream, where we deal with the social dimension of policy. This is where you would find education, transport, food security, xenophobia, land forms and agriculture, youth development programs, expanded public works. So these are the issues that we find airtime in that particular chamber. We're dealing with those issues. It's not the strongest of chambers in NEDLAC. It's a pretty weak one. But the issues on its agenda are very, very important issues. We're working on it in terms of strengthening some of the things. This is the NEDLAC establishment. We've got something like 21 staff members. So we're a fairly small organization. And we've got three vacancies in NEDLAC, the critical vacancies, if one looks at them. We have now commissioned an organizational development exercise, just to investigate for us whether or not this is the kind of structure that could deliver on our broader objectives. If this is a structure, what kind of systems do we need, as it were, and that is shaping up going forward. This is our budget, and thanks to this committee and the Department of Labor, we've been crying for more money for quite a long time. And in fact, when I checked, the very first executive director, Gianda Naidoo, one of his biggest challenges was funding. He tried until he left. He couldn't crack it. Philip Dexter, the second executive director, tried. He tried and tried. He couldn't crack it. And he left. Yeah. Hevid Mkiza came in 2003. He tried for 7 years. He cracked it a bit in 2009. Hence, we do have a budget, and it's not an insignificant increase. But our grant has been increased about 55%. Major program, major achievement. I mean, this might become one of my swan songs going forward. But thanks to this portfolio committee and thanks to the Department of Labor, but we have now something that looks reasonable. There's a lot that we can get out of that. It's going to compete with the culture that we've instilled now in NEDLAC of doing more with little. So if in the next financial year we come in and we have a huge underspending, you must understand that we're trying to change the culture. But this is how it looks. This is how it looks in terms of income. The rental income is partly South African, which is housed in our building in Rosebank. They pay rent for being housed there. Interestingly, they are one of our major projects as NEDLAC, but they pay rent for using our space. Expenditure, this is how it looks like. We've budgeted our expenditure based on what we're going to be getting. And you can see that the staff cost goes up quite a bit, between the 2010-11 and 2011-12, because we want to build capacity. We want to build capacity there. We want to be able to employ an economist. At the moment, we can't, because we just can't afford them. Employ an economist who's going to come in and speak sense, you know, Sometimes when I articulate something economical, people ask, is he from Harvard? If the Harvard guys can't, if they can't pick my name on the Harvard alumni, so now, well, he's talking nonsense. So we've got to bring in somebody whose comments and opinion are taken very seriously. And unfortunately, they come at a premium, those guys. We think with that we could be able to bring in good people. Challenges, there are challenges. There are cases where some government departments still either bypass NEDLAC altogether or table issues at short notice. But some departments have had to learn the hard way, as recent as towards the end of last year, where one important bill ended up in Parliament without being tabled in NEDLAC, and Parliament said it must go back, and the department was frustrated. It was a difficult bill, but we dealt with it. So it came to NEDLAC. There's a bit of disconnect between the National Social Dialogue outcomes with what happens on provincial and local level. So, honourable members, if there's one thing in my tenure in the last 8 years that I failed to do, was to take NEDLAC to provinces. Let alone taking NEDLAC to provinces, but helping to shape and strengthen social dialogue at provincial level. Because some provinces have taken initiative of establishing their own social dialogue forum, but they're not at the level at which they should be or they are capable of being. So what the problem with this, we will articulate one thing at national level in terms of policy, but at provincial level we find that it's way out of sync with the harsh realities at the provincial level. Unlike Parliament, you've got NCOP to take care of that. In NEDLAC, we don't. Once we take a policy at national level, that's it. We can't actually test if it is not out of kilter with the dynamics at the provincial level. I think it's something that remains a challenge. We need to find ways of how to deal with it. Dealing with policies that straddle more than one government department is a huge problem. I mean, take preferential procurement. Preferential procurement, as an example, is developed, the architecture of that policy is developed in trade and industry. But the implementer of that policy is National Treasury. So the question is, what happens? Normally, National Treasury will stand back during the formulation of the policy and only come in just to look at whether the policy is implementable as a regulator ultimately. That often creates problems for all of us. So those policies that strangles, I mean, it's just a matter of time also before we find some challenges on skills development and where they're located and some aspects that still sits in the Department of Labor. Sooner or later, it's a given that we're going to find those challenges going forward. It's policies that have one leg in one area and another leg in another department. Positional stances, it's surfacing, particularly around the issue of labor broking. I mean, if you wanted to see how industrial relations were like before 1994, you just have to look at the current discussions and discourse around labor broking. It takes us back to that era where the mental gymnastics was at its peak. Sequencing policy making processes at times undermine social dialogue. I mean, there are instances where this happens. I mean, a classical example is when a department develops a policy, takes it to cabinet signs off on it, and then bring it to NEDLAC. Now, when you bring a mandated position to NEDLAC, there's no more room for negotiations. It's like a fait accompli. So the sequencing becomes absolutely critical. It's not that it can't be done. It can be done. But we say to departments, when they seek a mandate from cabinet, they must signal to cabinet that there may be changes because they're taking the policy propositions to consultations processes and so on. And people become irritated if they are invited to make comments, but they see nothing of their comments in the final product. They say, why did you do it? Why did you invite us to make comments if ultimately you are not going to take them seriously? Interventions we're proposing is that we need to obtain buy-in from government departments to comply with the NEDLAC protocol. So the protocol is there, but people just simply ignore it. We need to build better linkages between NEDLAC and the social dialogue forums at provincial levels where they exist, improve linkages and coordination of policy, But there are instances when it comes to coordination of policy. It's not unusual in NEDLAC to find one government department disagreeing with another government department on a policy matter. Now, the difficulty, there's nothing wrong with that. The difficulty with it is, in NEDLAC, we don't deal with the government department. We deal with government. So when government comes to NEDLAC, it must come with a government house view on a particular matter. So it's a challenge. We need to optimize the value of social dialogue and the role of NEDLAC that NEDLAC can play in ensuring broader buy-in on policies. So some of the things we don't have to come and request you to intervene. I think by demonstrating that we are adding value, some people would find it useful to come to NEDLAC. So that's why we're saying perhaps NEDLAC in its own needs to look at ways of how we can optimize value so that people see NEDLAC as a value add, as a place to be. They don't see it negatively as a place that is going to stifle some of their ideas. Bragging a little, that look, we can demonstrate, and we have, that the notion of the people shall govern can become a reality. On conclusion, Chair, we're still young as an economic and social council in South Africa. I mean, there are social and economic councils in Europe that have been there for more than 100 years. So we're fairly young. So we need to also balance reality and expectations. We do have our own challenges, but this year in particular is going to be very tough. And I think the idea of together we can there is very little we cannot do. Divided, there is very little we can do. Will be the test going forward. So the call for social compacts in the New Growth Path is going to be the toughest test for social dialogue in South Africa, and the call to create 5 million jobs will be even tougher. Thank you very much. Chair, the detail of the work program is a separate page. We just wanted to give you the high level of where we think we should be going. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much for that elaborate presentation, which I think has been the order of today, the final bout. Can see, Honorable Ollie is about to give up. But before that, let's allow questions.
Chairperson, they're in my constituency, so I can't say anything.
Given that it's local government elections. Okay. Honorable Nyakemba. Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. No, you see, covers are not one bunch. Not kind of. No, there are three issues for me, Chairperson. One is the issue of Superior Courts Bill. I think it's important for NEDLAC also to paint the dynamics in the whole issue. I'm saying this. I know. I think it's the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development that is leading this process, which from where I'm sitting, in a way of trying to do away with the labor courts. Now, looking at, because what end up in the labor court is something that comes from the factory. In the first place, you see, it goes to CMA, your bargaining councils, and so on. So obviously, even the appointment of judges in that light, what is looked at is the experience on labor-related matters. Now, really, I think there might be discussions on that. But I think what one would like, say, if NEDLAC can, in a way, trying to put us in the picture. I mean, Khalid is here also. You see, the problem with Mkhalifi.
Yeah. Every
you see, if you look on the left, on your left side, you see Mkhalifi right, Mkhalifi in front of and backwards, Mkhalifi, I don't know.
It's
present in the life of God. I think that's the first point. The second one is on the fisheries policy. I'm not too sure, but I think is the element that is brought by the Department of Transport. Correct me if I'm wrong, because in a way, there were scenarios that are not shown now, whether they're still within NEPLEC, where it looks like there's a way of deviating from the basic conditions of Environment Act in with regards to working hours. So that's why I'm saying maybe I might be corrected on this one, but that's what I did catch up in the process. And the reality for me is that should that be left not attended to, obviously that can lead to the Basic Conditions of Employment Act being a useless labor legislation that exists. But I think it's important just a brief progress on that one. The last point is community care workers. I think there might be parties that are in the, at fault on this one. I don't know which party, but there might be. No, I'm raising this chair. For instance, there's a program currently under the COPTA, Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs. It's called Community Works Program. What worries me with this was in a way is linked to expanded public works in a way, but these care workers, let me put it that way, these care workers, they tend to be taken, but whoever does that compromise the labor legislation. So, I'm raising this that I think for me, from where I'm sitting, NEDLEC, as the parent of labor legislation, I think when these programs and issues when they are brought at the level of NEDLEC, I mean, they need not to be far below than the basic conditions that exist in the country. I just wanted to raise those few issues. I know that I'm just inviting the thinking of the presenters. Of the
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Come to briefly take that on here.
Yeah, we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with these things, but you want to take that?
On the issue of the fishery, there are two issues here. The one that Kamazel is talking about is a policy. It talks about the issues of the quotas and the world works. That's what. But you're correct. There's the issue, the Basic Condition of Employment Act, as it stands now, does not apply to deep sea fishery. Does not apply to that. Therefore, those workers that are dealing with deep sea fishery are excluded from the Basic Condition of Employment Act. The Maritime, what Maritime Fisheries Act applies there. Now there's a discussion that is taking place because if you remember, you were in Geneva last year, if you're not drinking the nice wines there. There's the convention that was adopted at NEDLEC at Geneva on the fishery. Now, the debate that is taking place is to align our legislation, and that convention requires that the Maritime Act need to be amended to give protection to those workers. And that's the discussion that we're having with the Department of Transport, because the Maritime Act is administered by the Department of Transport, and we're having some difficulties there in bringing them into NEDLAC to debate a bill that will amend that act so that the convention can be brought to Parliament for ratification. And that's the challenge that we're having, and that's the issue that North Member is raising, the applicability of the basic condition of employment around that issue. And on the issue of caregivers, the issue that you've raised also, I think this is the issue where the ECC falls in. In terms of the law, as it stands, all workers who work more than 24 hours, the BCA come into play, except those that are in deep sea. The BCA comes into play. I think that the challenge is that in the country, in South Africa, we don't have minimum wage. We've got sectoral wages set in terms of the sector determination. Now, we do not have a sector determination that specifically deals with the sector section that we're talking about. Possibly the challenge would be then to start an investigation looking at that specific sector and see whether should not we introduce some form of sector determination. But on the other hand, there is a sector determination that deals now with the issue around public works. There is a sector determination that has been agreed on to come up with some sort of a wage for people that are in the public work program. That might affect those if they come to that program. It might affect that. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, on the Superior Court's bill, it is not unusual to hear a story that a worker has been waiting for the outcome of his or her case for 5 years. It's not unusual in South Africa. A worker says, I've dismissed my cases in the labor court, and I've been waiting for the outcome for the last 5 years. It's not unusual. It is also not unusual to be told that there is no judge that would want to work for the labor court. It's not unusual to get that kind of statement. It is also not unusual, if you sit with some of these advocates or the legal practitioners, to hear that a judge who works for the labor court is not considered a real judge, because the labor court is a tribunal court. Unlike other courts, it does not enjoy the same status as other courts. It's also not unusual in South Africa to hear somebody saying, well, the labor court decisions are of the same status as the high court, which is quite nice. But then why, if it is at that level, why are the benefits not accrue? So for reasons of, and also you, it's quite possible if you want to file a case in the labor court, you are told that you have to wait for 2 years or 18 months before it could be put on a roll. It's not unusual. Now, given all of these unusual circumstances, the Department of Justice took a view that we need to fix this problem. We need first to fix the problem that the labor court is not considered a real court because it's outside of the criminal justice system or the court system. It has to be part of the system. So it's one court system where all the courts are together. Said, well, that's one problem. The second problem, how do we make sure that the labor court starts attracting judges? How do we make sure that the backlog in the labor court is dealt with by having more judges who can be able to deal with this? And as a result of all of this, the Superior Court was then proposed that if you have a matter that must go to the labor court in South Africa, you've got to go to Bloemfontein in Johannesburg. You can't go to Durban for that, unless if the court comes to you. Yeah. Okay, Durban, there is one. Yeah. Yeah, but to deal with all of these problems, the issue was then to introduce the Superior Court's bill. It's integration of courts in South Africa. But then the Labour Court is a very special court. It's a court that is quite special. So there were arguments about why don't we leave it as a special court but have all of those, deal with all of the problems coming in, then it springs to action. But when it comes to labor court, there are matters all the time. So you need to try and deal with it. So hence the labor court. Hence the superior court's role. Now, there were issues that arose. The first is the appointment of judges. At the moment, the NEDLAC social partners, by invitation, sit on the Judicial Services Commission. They sit there. They are very much part of the process of shortlisting judges for the labor court. So the appointments, then they recommend, and the JSC takes their recommendations very seriously, so they're part of that. So the question was, is that going to continue? So there's been a guarantee now and an undertaking that that will continue. So the social partners will still be part of the process to appoint labor court judges. The benefit of the Superior Court's bill is that now labor matters are going to have the benefit of more judges than just labor court judges. Because the other judges, if they want to be listed on the labor court matters, to deal with labor court matters, they'll have to go through special training, they'll be trained. So the pool of judges becomes bigger if it is part of the High Court. So that's the second advantage of being able to deal with the backlog. The rules of the court, they said, look, the labor matters will have its own division within the High Court. So it's not lost, it's going to have its own division. It may not have its own judge president, but it will have its own division, and the judge president's responsibility of allocating cases will be governed by those judges that are in the labor matters role, those who are qualified. Those are the ones that will hear labor matters. So it helps. In terms of this SCA, again, there will be those judges that will be specifically set aside for labor matters. And on a labor matter before the SCA, the majority of the judges on the panel on the bench will be labor matters judges, in order just to make sure that the labor speciality is taken into account when dealing with those matters. And then the next question was the appearance. The appearance in the High Court. That was resolved as well, that a shop steward, that will be built into the rules of the court. That the rules of the court will make provisions that a shop steward or a paralegal can be able to appear before a High Court to represent workers or matters relating to labor, as it were. So those were some of the issues that came up very sharply, and this was negotiated at the highest level you can think of. I mean, the former Chief Justice was part of the processes to try and get this agreement out of the processes. The Department of Justice is now putting together the final version, and there's a commitment from the Department of Justice that when their final version is ready, it will be tabled in NEDLAC just to check if all the areas of agreements have been incorporated into the final bill that eventually gets tabled in Parliament. There's one other bill I meant to raise. It has not been tabled in NEDLAC, but it's already in Parliament. It's the Immigrations Amendment Bill. That's a bill that you would have to keep an eye on as this committee. We're gonna try and see if we can intercept it at the NCOP level. But that bill might have labour market policy implications, and it's driven by Home Affairs. So it's a bill that we need to keep an eye on. And then lastly, through you, Chair, my contract in NEDLAC ends this year. My contract ends this year around the end of July, and I've already signaled to my principals in NEDLAC that perhaps it's time for me to go on parole for time well served. And they seem to be in agreement. We've now started the process to find my replacement, and that process is gaining momentum. So I may not be the next accounting officer at NEDLAC that might be talking future. But thank you very much for your support. In my tenure, I've learned a lot, and through your interaction, I've also seen the other side of the picture. So I think I'm now equipped by knowing both sides of how some of the things and the mandate of NEDLAC is meant to be executed. But thank you very much through you, Chair.
I can see the way you even taking longer to explain some of the things. It's like you're giving your final engagement with the portfolio committee, but you're still around until what, July? Okay.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for that, for both the input and the interaction with ourselves. And yeah, thanks. We will just have a brief discussion, just a 2-minute discussion with the fellow honourable members. But I think this brings us to the end of the of today's activities. And thank you very much for that, for your taking time being here.